But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Have you reconsidered what is the most coveted current head coaching job in the NFL? Is it the Bears? Is it a better job than, say, Dallas? Do you consider Ryan Poles a detriment or impediment to the hiring the best coach? If Mike McCarthy or any candidates blows the Bears away, are they prepared to do something about it?
That is good stuff, all of it. I do not believe they're capable or they're able to do much about it if they're blown away by a candidate. If Mike McCarthy comes in and does this incredible interview, if David Shaw said things to him, if Ron Rivera, if Pete Carroll. I mean, they've had people in that they could announce and you could say, well, that's interesting. And I do not believe they are moving off their process. I think it's interesting that McCarthy is in person doing the interview, but I don't know that they are prepared to do something about it. So I think they're going through their process. And I don't know how coveted the position is because of the question. The question, you know, is the Bears a better job than Dallas? You know, you'd have to look at a lot of things, not in Troy Aikman's mind, and he spent a lot of time there. Is Ryan Poles a detriment or impediment to hiring the best coach? That, to me, is the question that you've got to solve. You've got to resolve that. If indeed you can't, if Ben Johnson's your guy and you can't get him because of that reason, that's a problem. It's a big problem. And I don't think they're prepared to do anything about it. So, you know, they will conclude that if a guy has a problem with Ryan, then he's the wrong guy. Others might conclude that the job isn't as good as you think it is. And I think the job in Dallas isn't as good as people think it is because of Jerry. Because he's there, he's omnipresent, and he's got a comment about everything. And you know, you need to be able to work with that. You need to be a guy like Deion Sanders that he respects. And you might be able to stand up to him every once in a while if you so choose. I think the problem with a lot of these jobs is that there are people in the way of success. And if the Bears are one of those, then they got to solve that problem.
I think this is a really interesting question. There is a ton here. And I think, Mully, you're spot on with the Ryan Poles part. Is he a detriment? Does he get in the way to the Bears landing the absolute best candidate out there? And I think it's TBD right now at this point. Is he a detriment? Eventually, we're going to find out. Like, if the Ben Johnson thing doesn't go the Bears' way and he ends up in Vegas or he ends up in Jacksonville, we're going to know more about it. But the fact that there's all these jobs available and he's interviewing only for a few of them shows that he is at least interested in the Bears job. So he at least took the interview, and Ryan Poles didn't get in the way of that. So I guess that is something you have to put on a check mark, that he didn't stop the guy everybody seems to want from coming in and talking to them. As far as the best job out there, I think it is. I mean, really, if you were going to whiteboard this thing up, why would it be a better? Listen, at the end, they're all good jobs. You're the head coach in the NFL.
32.
Right?
Yeah.
We love to say that, right? It's a head coaching job in the NFL. There's not a bad job out there. Now, again, you can get into, if you're lucky enough to pick your spot, lifestyle, your wife's family, your family, the conference, the other teams in the division, if you're lucky enough to get to pick all that stuff, great, but they're all good jobs. Do I want Jerry Jones breathing down my back? No, but if you score in Dallas, you're going to be the king, and Jerry's going to treat you like that, you know, financially and longevity wise. So that's not a terrible job just because Jerry Jones is this super big ego.
If you're asking the question of whether Ryan Poles is a detriment or impediment to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears, that's your answer. If you have to ask the question, you know the answer. And the answer is, yeah, he is. This is not a proven decision maker. This is not a proven NFL executive. This is not somebody who I think commands a kind of respect that his supporters want to give him in Chicago. This is somebody who's in the way. If he were not in the way, this job would be much more appealing. And we wouldn't be having these conversations about what Ben Johnson may or may not do. I really believe that if there were a situation like you have with the Las Vegas Raiders, and there was not a lead executive, and they didn't have to have a rapport established with the new coach and the sitting general manager, then this job would be a lot more appealing. That's not, it doesn't sound very nice, but it is the truth, I believe. Or at least that's my opinion of the truth. And Ryan Poles was retained. Now the Bears are going to have to deal with those consequences. It makes the Cowboys, I think, maybe a better job in spite of the fact that Jerry Jones is there hovering over everything. You know that going in, but you also are looking at a franchise that has averaged 10 wins a season for the last 4 years and have been in the playoffs three of those 4 seasons. And so you're getting a team and a roster in Dallas that has a superstar on defense, has a pretty good defense in terms of pieces. You've got an established quarterback in Dak Prescott. You've got some other pieces on the offensive line. And I think you have a market that is as crazy about football as we are here in Chicago. So I would put the Cowboys slightly ahead of the Bears in terms of appeal to a head coach. And the Bears, I think, have some issues internally. They have obviously the dysfunction that we have seen play out on the field. It does matter. You have ownership that does not know how to get out of its own way. And you've got a general manager with a 15-36 record over 3 seasons and yet is being entrusted to find the next head coach. All those things combined to say, yeah, this could end well. They're going to have to thread the needle very carefully if they like Mike McCarthy today. I think our confidence, though, history has shown that you have maybe some confidence, but you don't want to get carried away because of past history.
Such a great question.
That's the voice of Stacey Dale. She's here at 9 a.m. with Mike McCarthy, scheduled to interview today with the Bears in person. Is it his job to lose, or is McCarthy likely plan B? How much would you worry about McCarthy taking another job while the Bears potentially wait for Ben Johnson?
That's a real concern. That's what we're alluding to, because if they like him and they are prepared to win with him or try to win with him, the Saints need a coach. I don't know if the Jets are involved in McCarthy. Heck, do we know the Raiders aren't interested? They interviewed Pete Carroll. So if they start this process a little bit later, they just got rid of Tom Telesco. That might be an appealing situation to McCarthy if he's looking to land on his feet. Again, without the front office impediment in Vegas that you may have at other places. It's very likely that Mike McCarthy could emerge as a strong plan B if Ben Johnson is your plan A. I really believe that Ben Johnson, based on some of the things and indications you're getting, had a pretty good interview with the Bears. There was nothing that I think was said during their three-hour virtual session that was a deal breaker. It doesn't sound like that would be the case. I think the rapport with Ryan Poles, There would be a lot of assumptions that both sides would be making. They don't have a shared history. I'm not even sure they have people in their background who are common football guys that may come up. I'm not sure about that. We'll find that if this proceeds. But if it's Ben Johnson is plan A, Mike McCarthy is probably plan B on that second tier of guys they could live with, along with maybe Pete Carroll, Brian Flores, and Cliff Kingsbury. Names of guys who have done the job before. And then you get into your coordinator batch, which is a big batch. But I do think Mike McCarthy's probably at the top of the list of guys right underneath Ben Johnson.
Well, here's what's interesting is, and this goes back to what you guys were talking about yesterday, and I thought about it a lot, is the lack of maybe focus in this coaching search. Now, I'm going to stay pat into what I said. I don't mind the fact that they're interviewing all these guys, but if plan A is Ben Johnson, you're talking about a whiz kid offensive guy that has never been the head coach and leader of men. And then plan B is a well-established longtime guy, Mike McCarthy, who's been there, done that, also offensive. So now is plan C defensive? And then are we looking for a first-time guy, or are we looking for a guy who's rebounding on his second or third time? I made these mistakes the first, second go around. Now this is what I'm going to do in my second or third go. That's what's so confusing about it. I personally think you don't have to rush into this. It sounds like Mike McCarthy's got two options right now, the Bears and the Saints. Okay? So unless he blows your door. Now, but there is something to be said. I think the biggest piece of news is that this interview is being done at Halas Hall, and you have to say why. To me, not there, don't know for sure, but to me it says they're really, really interested. Otherwise, why would you break the protocol and not have him Zoom? It's because, unless maybe Mike McCarthy said, I'm not Zooming. If you wanted, I want to see what I might be getting into. I want to see your facility. I want to walk around. I want to see what I might be getting myself into. So maybe he's the one who said, not so fast. I'm not Zooming. I'm coming in, even if I got to pay for a middle seat on Southwest Airlines.
Well, they'll pay for your middle seat. No, I think that, I think that's probably accurate. I think if McCarthy wants to come in, you bring him in. I don't know if he says I don't want to Zoom, Dustin, they might say, well, let's Google chat. There are other ways of virtually contacting him than Zoom. I know you love to promote that Zoom thing, but let's just be fair about it and not, you know, say that you're going to Hoover the carpet, okay? Because there are Dysons that do as good a job as anything.
Wow.
I've been preaching this one for days.
You have been. You're driving home the fact that you must have gotten burnt in the stock market by investing in Zoom. I don't know.
Those things being said, I'll pause and open it up for questions.
That sensitive. Is the voice of Mike Tomlin. What do you think of the Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, responding to a question about teams potentially trading for him?
Save your time.
Do you think the Bears have ever considered Tomlin?
They'd be crazy if they didn't. It might be better for Mike Tomlin to get out of there, frankly. I think that if he could have that kind of success here, he'd be treated a lot differently. And they have a better quarterback here. They have a guy that if you work with him and you get him better, maybe he can Ben Roethlisberger some games for you in the playoffs. You can start winning some games again. I'll say it again. I know there are people that think that Mike McCarthy's kind of a trash coach, but he's not going to make dumb arse decisions at the end of the game and let the clock tick out, right? He's been doing it long enough that he knows game management. He's been through it, and you don't have to worry about that. It's a big deal, and we saw it unfold this year with the Bears. So anybody who has done it before and is competent could have gotten 7 wins out of this team. I really believe that. I think when you talk about it, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's the kind of guy that could get 9-10 wins out of this team because he wins. He's never had a losing season. That's an extraordinary 18 years as a head coach in the NFL, never had a losing season. Think about that. Think about all the years we've watched the Bears, including last year, where we walked away feeling that it was a disaster. They better be thinking about him. Mike's not going anywhere. He said he's not going anywhere. That's great. you know, I would look into a bunch of people. I would look at a bunch of people that are currently coaches now, and I will now get myself a tissue, not a Kleenex.
Okay, well played.
They on sale this week at the Jewels. As much as Ryan Poles would like us to believe that it's very hard to make this Bears roster, it's not. The roster's got a ton of flaws. So that being said, I'm not a fan of it in any scenario, but in the Bears situation, they don't have the draft capital and the roster to go ahead and trade for any head coach, let alone Mike Tomlin. You know, if Mike Tomlin was available, of course, whatever he wants to, you know, if he wants to Zoom, you let him Zoom. If he wants to come in, you let him come in. If he wants to ride in a car, if he wants to ride in a helicopter, if he wants to ride on an airline, you do whatever and you talk to the guy because he has built, with the Steelers, a great, yes, sir.
What if he wants to ride in a yacht like he did with Jerry?
I don't know how the yacht would get here, right? Like could you get a yacht from Pittsburgh to Chicago?
Yeah, you can get a yacht.
Is there a way to get through the Great Lakes that way? I'm not smart enough to know.
Yeah,
but if there's a will, there's a way. So, yes, if Mike Tomlin was available, why would you not talk to Mike Tomlin?
I doubt they considered it. That seems a little bit too bold for the Bears, although they should have. And Mike Tomlin being off the market by his own doing is unfortunate for a team like the Bears that needs a strong head coach and hasn't had one in a long time. Save your time. I think it's good advice, understandable. They can use that time they might have devoted to exploring trades for Mike Tomlin by exploring trades for Kevin O'Connell. Because if Kevin O'Connell, until he signs a deal to secure his future with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm going to look at the Jay Glazer report, which I think was reiterated after the loss to the Rams, as an invitation to explore. You talk about plan B or plan C. If Kevin O'Connell is available via trade, then you take this time that you're using to interview 21 candidates and you use a portion of that time to find out what it would take and what are the Vikings asking. What are they asking and what would you give up? It's a fair question, and I would not necessarily hoard draft picks for the right head coach. Kevin O'Connell can win with any quarterback. He's going to develop. If Sam Darnold, he's going to get the most out of J.J. McCarthy. You want to send him Kirk Cousins back, he'll win with him too. Whatever it takes. Kevin O'Connell is that kind of a coach, and I do think that he has earned that kind of respect. So save your time, teams, yes, but that time is now going to be spent wisely looking into what's going to take to pry Kevin O'Connell out of Minnesota.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. I'm sure we'll talk to Bruce before CubsCon gets underway on Friday. What do you make of Bruce Levine's story that the Cubs have, quote, casual conversations, end quote, with the super agent Scott Boras regarding short-term contract with the former Astro free agent third baseman Alex Bregman? The 31-year-old is looking for a $200 million deal after passing on a six-year $156 million deal from the Astros, but nothing has been forthcoming. Do you like the idea of playing Bregman an opt-out deal like they did most recently with Cody Bellinger?
Well, even the biggest fans of Matt Shaw have to say that the idea of Alex Bregman coming to the Cubs would be exciting. It would be galvanizing. It would be all the things. And it would put the Cubs at a spot where they're not at currently, because you don't have a lot of – you have a kind of excitement, little trepidation. I don't know how to feel about this Cubs season until the roster is more complete, but certainly Alex Bregman would go a long way toward completing that roster, at least offensively and with position players in your everyday lineup. They still need some pieces in the bullpen. We'll talk to Tommy Haudovy about that at 8:25. But, yeah, I think, of course – you would be excited about that. What are the terms, though? What will he agree to? Every free agent that wants a long-term contract, you would like to talk to their agent about making it short-term so you could get out of it, so they could get out of it, so they can have maybe a handshake agreement, whatever it is that you maybe at the end of this, we'll talk again. With Bellinger, you got 2 good years. Well, you got one really good year. If you got that out of Bregman this year, you could live with that. What does casual conversation with Scott Boras sound like? Does he throw in a lot of puns if it's casual? Or does he have to save that for the formal conversations? I like the idea of making the offer. I would love it if they land him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be an unbelievable person for Matt Shaw to, you know, play behind, learn from. You could give Matt Shaw, you know, a game or two a week and have Bregman be your DH. The Cubs don't have an obvious necessarily DH candidate. I guess right now it's Seiya Suzuki, right? He's your DH, even though supposedly he doesn't want that. I'm fine with the first part of it. Okay, let's say Alex Bregman for $19 million for 2025. Just putting a number out there. But what's the back end of it? Is it Bregman's op? Is it a player option? Is it a mutual option?
It's Cody Bellinger part two.
Right, and that's the part that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Cubs didn't think. They didn't think Bellinger was going to opt back in. They thought Bellinger was going to walk and look for greener pastures. But unfortunately for, I guess, Cody Bellinger and the Cubs, he didn't have the type of season that allowed him to do that. So he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll stick around and take another $20 million from the Cubs. So that's what you got to be careful about. But the Cubs, okay, give me another scenario. Matt Shaw, I don't think maybe he can't. We don't know. He shouldn't have all this pressure to be the opening day third baseman at this point in his career.
That is interesting, Dustin, because I think, you know, this guy's looking for $25 to $30 million a year. And he turned down a contract with Houston that would effectively average $26 million a year. I don't think you're getting him for 19. I think that if you're going to get him to a contract where he comes here on a short-term deal, you're going to have to give him a three-year contract, $75 to $100 million. And he gets the options to opt out if he has a sensational season or whatever. That's what a short-term contract would look like. I think it's a lot of money. I think he's a good player. I think he would help them a ton. And I think that, you know, as great as Matt Shaw, as great as the things you hear about him, he's already working his arse off. He's getting ready. He knows the opportunity is there. Make him a part of your team. And they've cleared out a lot of guys. Didn't they? Mastroboni passed through waivers and they traded him for
I thought that was a special segment later because Dustin scheduled that.
Cash consideration. I'm sorry. Did I blow it?
Mastroboni's gone.
Yeah. I know Dustin wanted it. Did you talk to anyone in Seattle?
Well, in all seriousness, I don't understand how this works. So they DFA'd him, and yes. then you wake up this morning, or and last night, traded. Actually. I saw a tweet, and it was, they've traded. Wait a thought. I thought they got rid of him.
They cleared the roster spot, yeah. and so they put him on waivers. No one wanted his contract.
Shocking.
Then they traded him for cash considerations to Seattle. So they got more
I'm
cash.
I'm sorry I interrupted.
No,
but
not
I need,
at all.
I needed to mark that moment. Master Boney's gone.
Yeah. I think it's a fair thing
off
to
the
mark.
Menu.
Yeah. Dustino. Well, you went off the menu. Okay. Yeah, but I think that it would help to get a guy like this. I think they need more. I think they need more on the back end. They've got money. Spend it.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
So how badly do the Bulls need Iodesumu back in the rotation, and whose minutes will decrease? Are you comfortable with Billy Donovan's rotation?
I welcome Ayu back. I think he's a good player. I think he's rock solid. I think he will play defense. I think he will finish games. And I think he will finish games as opposed to, say, Josh Giddey. And that's the guy's minutes he's going to take. Am I comfortable with Billy's rotation? Yeah, I am. I mean, we haven't talked much about Torrey Craig has a sprained ankle, severely sprained ankle. They're going to not even look at him for another couple of weeks. So he's out for a while. I think Billy Donovan has had a really good year. And the way that he's played has been exciting to watch. And I think the Bulls are very up and down. And we've seen them like that for a very long time.
I guess it would be a combination. So last night we saw that the starter, Patrick Williams, his minutes were only 20. He was a plus minus negative 19, led the team in that yesterday over at the United Center. And I guess Josh Giddey's probably minutes would go down a bit if Io was back in the mix. I'd like to see him back. I expect him back tonight. You'll find out 6:45 here on the score tonight.
How many points did LaVine have, especially in the first half?
Two.
Can we play
points.
That highlight for effect? I tell you, those updates. All right, so
take it easy.
Iodesunmu comes back at the perfect time. He is the Trae Young stopper. That is the guy that you want him guarding tonight as much as possible.
Had a great game last night.
He really did. Yeah. And they're playing the second of a back-to-back. The Bulls are at home. They have an advantage there. But they do have Io back to reinforce their defense and I think give them a little bit more spark, ideally. You never know with the Bulls. But that is where Io's best purpose will be tonight. And I hope he gets whatever he's ready to play. 20, 25 minutes? Is that too much to ask? Josh Giddey had 13 boards and I think 12 assists last night, not in double figure scoring, but it's probably going to come at his expense. Sometimes his defense really leaves a lot to be desired, even after his epiphany that he needs to play hard and show effort. He still can't play a lot of defense. I love Io on the floor. Kobe has to get hot again. The rotation, I don't have huge problems with Billy Donovan. I think he does a nice job of reading the situation and reacting to it well. Horton Tucker, I don't know where he fits sometimes, but he's a guy that when he's on the floor, I have to look at the score. Are they ahead by a lot? Are they behind by a lot? What's the purpose of him being on the floor as much as he is? So welcome back, Io. They're going to need you tonight.
That question remains.
The Blackhawks' Chris Chelios, the ambassador, and our BetMGM ambassador, will be here at 8:44 talking Blackhawks. CHN Blackhawks analyst Darren Pang opened eyes and ears the other night by saying the Hawks weren't, quote, playing for one another. Do you agree with the Panger?
Well, this was really something. Darren Pang, well-respected, and the team's TV analyst on the Chicago Sports Network essentially called out the Blackhawks for not playing for each other and not playing good hockey and saying everything that everybody who's been watching the Hawks lately has been thinking. Thank you, Panger, for telling the truth. Not easy job to do when you're in that role, but he's telling the truth because he respects the Hawks fan. And the Hawks fan is watching this team lose 9 out of 11. And yeah, there's not many expectations on a team that really has fallen a little bit off the radar in this city. But the people that are paying attention deserve better. And Darren Pang pointed that out. Connor Bedard gets his 100th point. Great. But they are underachieving. They have too many guys who aren't really playing up to potential. Kuroshev gets a healthy scratch. TJ Brody and Seth Jones has come back in 11 games. The Hawks have been outscored 16-11. And he's got to be better. He's not that good. His career low in ice time was the other night against Calgary. You wonder where that is headed. Hawks are a mess right now.
Yeah, they have not gotten a coach's bounce, that's for sure. I guess Luke Richardson wasn't the problem. And then you get blown out by the Flames, and the only highlight is the fact that the youngster, Connor Bedard, getting his 100th career point in just 112 career games, joining guys like Gretzky and Lemieux and other guys who did it really, really quick, getting that 100th career point. So that's the reason to tune in. That's the reason to watch. It's all about Connor Bedard and his development.
Yeah, I suppose so. I like that Panger did that. I like that he called him out. I think that if you're a guy working for a team and the team plays poorly, it is upon you to tell the truth about it. And if that's a hard thing to hear, and if that's an indictment of the coaches or the general manager, tough toenails, as we say in the business. That's just the
do
way.
Do we say that in the business?
No. I've never heard the expression.
What business do we say tough toenails? I know. Are you now a pedicurist?
Yeah. Maybe that might be the only one. How did it go? Well, I had a tough toenail this morning. I got to tell you, I really like the guy saying it, and I hope there's no fallback. I hope there's no offense taken or somebody want, make sure you put word that differently. That's exactly what's going on. Good for him.
Good for him. Manny's and Petty's, 5:30 to 10.
Hey, football fans. For those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.